Right, if you would, let's begin our service opening our Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll begin reading in verse 21 and read down through verse 29. Psalm 37. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. We'll end our reading there.
Turning our hymnal to page 30.
Bless the Lord and sing his praises. Bless the Lord now, O my soul. Join the song all heaven raises. Let the anthem loudly roll. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord for love victorious. Love that conquered on the tree, for his grace as good and glorious, flowing out from Calvary. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, he walks beside me, and he lights the path before. Every need is now supplied me, from his bounteous heavenly store. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, for truth he's given, for the word of prophecy that has drawn the veil from heaven and revealed my destiny. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Let's turn over to 34. Page 34. Song has great words, immortal and visible.
Immortal. immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice, like mountains, high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Come, Father of glory, now Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
All right, let's open our Bibles now to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great Father, we bow in your presence. We bow before your throne with fear and trembling, knowing that we come before the God of all. Yet we're thankful that we can come before your throne of grace boldly, confidently in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this evening that you would condescend to meet with us and enable us to, for this hour, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray you'd bless your word as it's preached. You promise to honor your word. And I beg that you would bless your word as it goes forth this evening. Enable us to see clearly the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his glory and his sufficiency. Enable us to see him as everything that we need. Every blessing you have for sinners found in him. Father, give us faith to believe Him, to see Him, to cast our soul upon Him. And Father, how we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank You for a Savior who did not try to save, but accomplished the salvation of His people. We thank You for giving us this gospel to preach, the gospel of Christ that blesses the hearts of Your people, that saves Your people, enables us to see something of the glory of God and His purpose to save sinners through the obedience and sacrifice of His Son. Father, how we thank You. And I would ask You that You never let us take this glorious privilege for granted. That what a blessing that You've given Your people here all these many years. A place we can meet together in love and unity. And to have Your gospel preached. Father, we're thankful. And pray that You continue to bless Your word as it goes forth. From the pulpit and on the internet, on the radio. Father, bless Your word to the hearts of Your people. Use it to call out Your sheep from this area. We thank You for the many physical blessings of this life. You've blessed us beyond measure. Father, we beg Your forgiveness for ever murmuring and complaining against Your goodwill after all You've done for us. Forgive us, we pray. Father, for those who are in a time of trouble and trial, we pray for them. We know these things have not come as an accident or outside of Your control. These evil tidings do not make You afraid. Father, bless Your people in a time of trouble. We pray for Your hand of healing and comfort and mercy. We pray that You would fulfill Your promise to never leave nor forsake Your people. Give them a special portion of Your presence in their heart. All these things we ask and give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Blessed is the man, O Lord, who was chosen by Your grace, Your election and Your love cause our hearts to sing Your praise. Cause our hearts to sing Your praise. God of love, You sent Your Son to redeem Your chosen ones. Precious Savior, precious blood, for our sin Your blood atones. For our sin Your blood atones. When the time of love has come, God the Spirit comes to some. By grace we cannot resist. God's elect are caused to come. God's elect are caused to come. Come to Jesus, yes we do. Come to Christ alone for grace. By God's sovereign grace and power, we the Son of God embrace. We the Son of God embrace. Blessed Father, blessed Son, blessed Spirit, three in one. We for grace our praise return. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done.
let's open our Bibles again to Psalm 112. I titled the message this evening, The Blessed and the Good Man. Now, this is another one of the Psalms called a Hallelujah Psalm. It begins, Praise ye the Lord. The word there is Hallelujah. And this Hallelujah, Praise the Lord, this Praise the Lord Psalm is praising the Lord for the blessed man and for the good man. So first I want to look at the blessed man. In verse 1, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now we see right from the get-go, this can only be talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the man. In every way, he's the man. Remember when Pilate brought him out and presented the Lord to that crowd, he said, Behold, the man. This is the man. And Christ is the man because he is the only man who was what man was created to be. He's holy and perfect, righteous. David says the blessed man is the one who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. Now that can't be anybody but our Lord Jesus, can it? You know, fearing the Lord is to reverence the Lord. Anyone that has a true reverence, a respect, a fear of the Lord, they're going to obey God's law. You know, if you fear the Lord, you reverence the Lord, you'll have no other gods before the Lord. You won't bow to any graven image. You won't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You'll remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the only man who ever did that was our Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't just obey the law because he had to. Christ obeyed the law because he delighted in it. And he didn't just delight in it. David says he greatly delights in God's law. It was Christ's delight to love God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, and all of his mind. That was his delight. And it was Christ's delight to love his neighbor as himself. It was Christ's delight to honor, magnify the Father by obeying the law. And it was Christ's delight to obey the law for his people. You know, Christ didn't come and obey the law for himself to make himself holy or righteous. He's already holy. It was his delight to obey God's law so he'd make his people righteous through his obedience to the law for them. And he could greatly delight in God's law. He could obey it because that's his nature. He's God in human flesh. So since he's God, since he's holy and perfect, he can delight greatly in the law and he can keep it. Now that is the blessed man, to be God and man, to delight in God's law, to fear, reverence the Lord. That's the blessed man. And this can only be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the blessed man. But now I would have to tell you, by God's grace, I would say of myself, I'm a blessed man. After all the Lord's done for me, all he's given for me, that the Lord would have mercy and patience on somebody like me. I mean, I'm a blessed man. I would say that about you. You think that about you. I'm a blessed person. Well, how can that be? If Christ is the blessed man, how can we say, I think I'm a blessed person? Well, all of God's blessings are found in Christ. All of them. And he is so full of blessing that he blesses his people too. Only the Lord Jesus could say he delighted greatly in God's law and he obeyed it perfectly. He's the only one who could say that, isn't he? But look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Every believer can honestly say what the Apostle Paul says here in Romans chapter 7. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Every believer can say that. If God has revealed himself to you and saved you, you can say, I delight in God's law. God's law does not seem to me to be a grievous, hard thing. God's law reveals that something about the character of our God, reveals his holiness, reveals his justice. The believer can honestly say, I delight in God's law, but I can't keep it. Look what Paul says just one verse earlier, verse 21. I find then a law, this is like the law of gravity, something that cannot be changed, that when I would do good, my desire is to obey the law, that's what I want to do. When I would do good, evil is present with me. It stops me from being able to keep and obey God's law, even though I delight in it. Well, how can a person delight in God's law? I mean, truly delight in it, even though we can't keep it. Well, the answer is in the new birth. What Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That new man, born of God, has the nature of Christ. He's born from the seed of the Word of God. He has the mind of Christ, the nature of Christ. And that's how a believer loves God's law. It's after the new man, after the inward man. And I love God's law. I mean, that's being perfectly honest. I love God's law. I see every commandment. It's good. It's right. It's best. It's best for me. It's best for society. I love God's law. But I'll tell you another reason I love God's law. I see it all fulfilled. I see it honored and magnified in Christ. If Christ hadn't kept the law for me, I couldn't love God's law because it would be a sentence of death to me. But since I see the law fulfilled in Christ, honored and magnified in Christ the Savior, I can say, I love God's law. Now that's a blessing that we can only have in Christ, the blessed man. Now verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now this blessed man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is mighty. He's mighty in power. He's mighty in the power to be able to obey God's law, to establish righteousness for his people by doing what no other human being ever did. He obeyed God's law. He's mighty in his power to save. His blood cleanses his people from what? All sin. I mean, that's powerful to remove all sin, the stain of sin, the guilt of sin, the filth of sin. His blood cleanses his people from all sin. Because there's power in the blood. He's so mighty to save that by his one sacrifice, he redeemed a people nobody can count. I mean, you think of that. One man did that. The power, the might to save. And the gospel that we preach is the power of God unto salvation. Because the gospel declares Christ the mighty Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is so mighty that he makes his seed mighty upon the earth. Now, who is the seed of Christ? Well, it's all his people. Remember that night that God took Abraham out one night, took him up? Boy, I mean, there's no artificial light, there's no pollution. Boy, the sky was clear. And he said, Abraham, look up there at those stars. Count them if you can. So shall thy seed be. And he's not talking there about natural seed. He's talking about spiritual seed, his believers, his children who are believers. And those believers, the children of God, they're born from his seed. That's why they're mighty, because they're born from his seed. God's people are mighty because they're joined to Christ, the mighty one. They're mighty because they're under the rule of the mighty conqueror. They're mighty in righteousness. Their righteousness is perfect. I mean, it's a mighty righteousness because it's the righteousness of Christ given to them. They're mighty in holiness. They're sanctified, made without sin in Christ. It can never be sullied. It can never be dirtied. Oh, it's a mighty holiness. They're mighty in life. They're so mighty that their life is eternal, everlasting life. They're mighty in faith. Now we might think, that can't be described to me. I'm not mighty in faith. I'm weak in faith. Well, that's true. Every honest person will say, my faith is weak. But if you're God's, if the faith you have is faith that God has given you, it's mighty. It'll never quit. It's mighty because it lays hold on Christ, who's the mighty one. They're mighty in faith. They're mighty in love. They're mighty in joy. The seed of Christ is mighty. He calls them the seed. He also calls them the generation of Christ. You know, in the scripture, they start, you know, they get ready to list a genealogy. They say, these are the generations of Adam. These are the generations of Jacob. And they start listing the genealogies. The generation of Christ is his children. All those children that have descended from his seed. And they're blessed. He calls them here the upright. They are blessed because they've been made upright. Now, they didn't come into this world that way. No, they came into this world fallen, Adam. But now, they stand. They've been made upright. They stand upright in Christ. See, those are the blessed people, aren't they? Blessed in Christ through union with Christ. And in verse 3, this blessed man, he has all wealth and riches. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. And we would all say of some millionaire somewhere, oh, they're blessed to have all that wealth and riches. Well, I don't know. A lot of times it looks to me like it makes people miserable. I don't know, but not this wealth, not these riches. These are the riches of Christ. Scripture calls them the unsearchable riches of Christ. They call them the riches of his glory. Scripture speaks of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge. These are things that are found in Christ. Here's one that will interest a sinner. The riches of his grace. Oh, he's rich in mercy and grace. The riches of his kindness to his people. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All these wealth, these riches, they're hidden in Christ. The Lord is so wealthy, he has all riches. Every spiritual blessing that there is, all those riches, all that wealth is found in one place, in Christ. Yet, he's not stingy with his people. You know, most rich people are stingy. Brother Clay Curtis says, rich people don't tend to get rich by giving their money away. You know, most rich people are stingy people. Not the blessed man. He's so wealthy, he gives all his riches to his people freely. He just gives it to them freely. He just liberally. And he never diminishes his wealth one iota. Even though he gives everything he has to his people, he doesn't diminish his wealth one iota. The Lord, overall, is rich unto all that call upon him. He's rich. He gives liberally to all that call upon him. The Lord is so wealthy, he makes his people wealthy too. God's children have these riches through union with Christ. This is so important, union with Christ. God's children are joint heirs with Christ. That's how all these riches belong to God's children. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have the riches of his grace and kindness in Christ. They all come to us in Christ. The treasure of wisdom and knowledge, we have that by knowing Christ. The beginning of wisdom is knowing Christ. We have that in Christ. We have a hope of glory, a good hope of glory, through faith in Christ. See, it's all in Christ. And here is his greatest wealth, the greatest riches that we have in Christ, his righteousness. David says his righteousness endureth forever. Now that has to be important. It's repeated twice in this psalm. It's repeated many times throughout scripture. His righteousness endureth forever. See, this is talking about Christ's righteousness. The righteousness that he gives his people. The righteousness that he earned as the man that he gives to his people. Christ is the one in his righteousness that purchased all these blessings. He purchased them for his people. It was his obedience in life, in obeying the law. But it didn't stop there. It's also his obedience unto death. See, his people could not be made righteous unless Christ died for them. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 5, verse 19, by the obedience of one, his obedience in life and his obedience unto death, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, Christ is our righteousness. Now look to Him. Look to Christ. Trust Him. Don't think you're going to be made righteous by sinning less than you ever did before. That's not how righteousness comes. Righteousness comes by trusting Christ, through faith in Christ. Now I tell you, don't despair over your sin. Hate it. Hate it. But don't despair over it. Christ came to save sinners. So don't despair over your sin, but trust Christ. Why did He come? He came to make His people righteous. Now trust Him. Now what riches it is to be able to say, I trust Christ. That's riches. The riches of God-given faith to say, I trust Christ. I'm righteous in Him. I find my hope, my comfort, my peace in Him. Now that's true wealth for the soul. Man has not yet come up with an accounting system to put a value on that, because it's invaluable. That's wealth for your soul. And then the blessed man is the light of the world. Verse 4, he says, under the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Now you know how the Lord called Himself the light of the world. The only way we have light to see who God is by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. The only manifestation we will ever see of God, even in glory, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only manifestation of God we'll ever see. If you would see God, you must see Christ. The only way we have light to understand how it is that God saves sinners is by seeing who Christ is. See, if we don't see who Christ is, we're going to think we've got to keep the law. We've got to observe all the ceremonies. That's how salvation comes. And we'll think that until we see Christ. And we see Him, we'll say, oh, now I see. Now I see how it is that Christ saves sinners, how God saves sinners. It's in Christ. This light is only in Christ. And He came not to hoard this light up for Himself, but He came to give His people light. In John 12, verse 46, He said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in Me should not abide in darkness. He didn't come to keep men in darkness. He didn't come to say, oh, no, wait a minute, you're not one of My elect, so I'm not going to give you light. No. He came to give light to all who would believe on Him. Now, I know who's going to believe on Him, don't you? It's His people. He's going to give them light. They're the upright, those who've been made upright, who stand in Christ, who've been made righteous in Christ. God gives them light. As opposed to darkness in Adam, as opposed to the darkness of our flesh. And this light is a whole lot more glorious than just turning on the light in a dark room. You know, I came in this evening, man, this place is dark. I flipped those lights on, see everything. Not afraid to walk around, not afraid to run into something. But the light that David's talking about here, and the light that certainly the Savior's talking about, He talks about Himself being the light of the world, is much more glorious than just physical light that lets us see. Christ, the light, arises where there is gross darkness. His people are in gross darkness. It's not just that they can't see, but they're in the filth of their sin. They're lost. They're so lost, they don't know they're lost. They're lost and they can't see the way of salvation. They can't see the way of righteousness. They're in such gross darkness, they can't even see the filth of their sin. They think they're clean and pure. They're in darkness and they can't see the way of forgiveness. They don't even know they need forgiveness. I mean, that's how the gross darkness that they're in. And this darkness causes despair. Darkness of living under the sentence of death. And their darkness leaves them in great misery. Janet hates this time of year. It gets dark too soon. There's too much time of the day that's dark. Well, spiritually, that's God's people. They're in gross darkness. Indeed. When they're in the, they think their despair cannot get any worse. then. Christ the day star arises. He arises in their heart and gives them light. And now they see. Now they see themselves as they really are because they see themselves in the light of Christ. How did Job know, I'm an unclean man? I just need to put my hand over my mouth. And how did he know that? He said, mine eyes have seen. Once I've seen the Lord, now I know I'm unclean. I'm undone. When Christ the day star rises, they see Christ. They see the salvation is in Christ. They see the only way they can be forgiven is in Christ. They see the only way they have life is in Christ. They have light to see and to enjoy salvation in Christ. They enjoy it. Now they have light to see. This light to see is not just physical seeing. It's an understanding. When Adam fell, our understanding was darkened. But when we see Christ, now we understand. I understand how God can be merciful to me and still be just. Now I see it's through the sacrifice of Christ. God can be just in showing mercy to me because he gave Christ the justice, the punishment, the death that I deserve. And when Christ the light arises, that oppression of darkness is lifted. Oh, such a blessing to have light in Christ. And then this blessed man, David says, is full of God's grace and love. The end of verse 4, he says he's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Now you know what grace is. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Now if God's going to be gracious, he's going to give us life that we do not deserve. He must also be true. God can't be gracious by ignoring our sin. God must be true. And what I mean by that is this, God cannot be gracious at the expense of his justice. See, David says here, God is gracious. He's full of compassion, but don't forget this, he's also righteous. Now, why did he point that out here? That God's gracious, he's full of compassion and righteous. We pointed that out to show us when God shows grace, when he pours out his love upon his people, he must do it in a way that's true. He must do it in a way that's righteous. Now, both grace and truth can only be found in Christ. You see, God is gracious to his people when he gives them what Christ deserves. Christ, by his obedience, he earned righteousness. He earned life for his people. So God in grace gives them what Christ earned for them. But something's got to still yet be done with their sin, doesn't it? If God's going to do it in truth and righteousness, something's got to be done with their sin. So that's when the Father made his Son sin for us. And Christ bore the punishment and the death that his people deserve. See, that's the truth. The grace is God giving his people what Christ earned. And his truth, that's giving Christ the death that his people deserve. So grace and truth are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessed man. The blessed man has a salvation that's done in grace and truth. And he's done this for his people because the Lord Jesus Christ is full of compassion. And you know that word compassion means love. It's a tender love. God loves his people in Christ. He loves them with an eternal, immeasurable, never-ending love. He must love his people that way. Christ must be full of compassion and love for his people for him to willingly suffer and die for his people like he did. The Father must love his people with an immeasurable love if he would sacrifice his Son in order to redeem them. Oh, he's full of compassion. He's full of love. Now this blessed man, he's the man who's full of God's grace and full of God's love. And the people who are the objects of God's grace and love, they're not lying when they say, I'm a blessed man. Oh, to be an object of God's grace, an object of his love, that's a blessed man, isn't it? That we have in Christ. He's the blessed man. Now, second, let's look at the good man, verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Now again, this good man can only be talking about Christ. Remember that rich young ruler that came to our Lord and called him good master. And the Lord said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, and he is good. Everything about God is good. God is good, and his purpose to save sinners. That God would purpose to save sinners who would sin against him and spend their life shaking their fist in the face of God saying, I'll not have this man to reign over me. Yet God would purpose to save them. That's good, isn't it? God is good in his patience with men. How long does God suffer with men? Sometimes before he saves them. Sometimes he suffers with them long before he punishes them. But either way, he's good in his patience with men, isn't he? He's good in his patience with his children. You don't have to think very hard to think of something that you're ashamed of. I mean, real ashamed of. And just thankful God's not like me. If God's like me, I'd cast me out. God's good in his patience with his children and patient. He's good in his mercy and his grace to sinners. He's good to the believer and unbeliever alike. Sending rain on this earth, keeping this earth full of air and water and sustaining life on this earth. He's good in the different gifts that he gives to men. He gives people great minds of science and that come up with the inventions and things that help all mankind. He's good in giving gifts to people to be doctors and nurses and, you know, to help heal bodies. God's good. We could just never end the list of all the different ways that God is good, his goodness to men. I can't tell you all the ways that God's good, but I can tell you where all of God's goodness is found. One place. In Christ. God's goodness is only found in Christ because of what Christ has accomplished for his people. God is so good, he shows favor to his people. As he says, the good man showeth favor. And that word favor means both mercy and grace. God's chief goodness is his sovereign mercy to sinners. And that goodness, saving mercy, is only found in Christ. If you would have that mercy and grace, you have favor from God, I'll tell you what to do. Go to Christ. It's all in him. Christ is so good, David said, he lendeth to his people. I looked at that. I thought, lendeth. But Christ does not lend to his people. Like, you know, we loan somebody $5 and they pay you back tomorrow. Or you go to the bank and they lend money to you. You got to pay them back with interest. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking here about God's generosity. How generous God is to his people. Verse 9 says, he hath dispersed. He's not talking about lending. He's dispersed. He's given. He hath freely given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. His power, his name, his reputation shall be exalted with honor because of how freely he gives to his people. So I was thinking about this word lendeth, and I looked it up, Strong's Concordance. And it does not really talking about financial transaction. It has to do with being joined together. That's what the word means. You know how Christ freely gives everything that he is, everything that he has to his people. You know how he gives it to them? By joining himself to them. By becoming one flesh with his bride so that she has everything that he is. Now that is good, isn't it? That's good. That the Son of God would join himself to the likes of you and me. Oh my. That's good. And Christ, the good man, guides all of his affairs with discretion. And the word means wise judgment. God directs all of his affairs with wise judgment. Wise. He never makes a mistake. He never does anything wrong. Everything he does is good and right. Now, Christ is the good man. He's so good. He's not going to make a mistake. Now, you trust your soul to him. He's not going to make a mistake. You trust all of your soul to him. He's not going to make a mistake. You trust your life to him. Let's just trust all of our affairs, whatever it is that's going to happen to us today and tomorrow and the days and weeks and years ahead. Let's just trust all those affairs to Christ. I cannot handle them with discretion, wisely, but he does. But let's just cast them all upon him. Now, we know this good man that David's talking about has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that, don't we? Has to be. Can't be talking about you and me. Romans 3, verse 12 says, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So that eliminates all of us from being the good man. Yet, Scripture often describes the believer as good. And it seems like there's many times in Scripture it talks about the good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It sounds like that's talking about a believer. Could be talking about Christ, though. So, but Acts 11, verse 24, describes Barnabas as a good man. Scripture says he's a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Now, how can that be? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Yet how can the Word of God describe a believer as a good man, a good woman? It's going back to this word, Linda, being joined. The believer is joined to Christ, and that's how we're good, being joined to him. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's how we're the good man. And God's people are good people. They're good because they're blessed in Christ, the good man. Look at Luke chapter 6. God's people show favor. They're merciful. They're gracious. Our Lord said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You remember our study there in the Beatitudes. They're not going to be merciful so that God will be merciful to them. They have already obtained mercy. God's already been merciful and gracious to them. That's why they're merciful to others. And God's people are generous. I mean, you just got to be careful when you talk about something that you'd like to see done, or you'd like to see something you'd like to have around God's people. Now, God's people are generous. Look here, Luke chapter 6, verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? Why should anybody thank you for that? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, if you lend to somebody hoping to receive the principal and interest back, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But, oh, love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Aren't you glad God's kind to the unthankful? Now, love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. Now, how can you forgive freely? How can you love your enemies? How can you do these things? Well, the key is verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See, that's how God's children are good men and good women. They're a chip off the old block, just like their Father, which is in heaven. And God unquestionably guides all of his affairs with discretion. And you know, generally speaking, his people do too. I know we're never going to have enough wisdom in this life. I pray for wisdom every day. I pray for understanding every day. We're never going to have enough in this life. And we're still going to do a lot of foolish things. We're going to make mistakes because we're not in control of everything. We don't know everything there is to know. And we're going to make mistakes. But generally speaking, believers show discretion. They show discretion in their lives. It comes from being joined to Christ. The believer trusts Christ. They trust their soul to him. What can be more wise than that? A believer worships Christ. They seek the opportunity to worship Christ. What can be more wise than organizing your life around the public worship of God. Believers are honest, hardworking people. What can be more honest than going out and earning your bread by the sweat of your brow and coming home and enjoying it with your family? Just being an honest, hardworking person. That's wise. And all of that comes from being joined to Christ. That's not the wisdom of this world. That comes from being joined to Christ. Now, verse 6 in our text, Psalm 112. Surely, he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. See, Christ the good man, he's never going to be moved. He's never going to change. And why would he? He's perfect. Why would he change? And his people will never be moved either. And they're never going to be moved because the Lord will never forget them. The Lord always has them in remembrance. He always remembers them in the sacrifice of Christ. Remember that thief on the cross? He asked the Lord, "Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, would you remember me?" You know the Lord did, didn't he? He remembered him. How could he forget a child for whom he died? Couldn't do it. He'll always remember his children, and they won't be moved because he won't let them go. Verse 7, he should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He should not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Now Christ, the good man, he'd never afraid of evil tidings. Because remember, he guides all of his affairs with discretion. Well, what are all of God's affairs? You know, somebody might tell you, you know, mind your own business. That's not your affair. What are God's affairs? Everything. Everything that happens in God's creation is his affair. Everything that happens in his creation is directed by his wise hand. Then when something happens in God's creation, and news comes to him, his people call out to him in prayer. Wayne's never afraid. He's never terrified by this. He never wonders, oh, what will we do now? He's the one that's directed in the first place. And he knows the end of it. The end of it for his people is good. God's people don't have to be afraid of evil tidings either. God's not afraid of evil tidings. All under his, he's not afraid of them because these things are under his control. God's people do not have to be afraid of evil tidings. And when you get evil tidings, bad news, what, you know, I say evil tidings, what something we think is bad news, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember who's in control. 1 year ago, tomorrow, it was a Wednesday, early afternoon, 1 year ago tonight, today. I was in my study. I was having a good day. I was studying, and the Lord's blessing. I just felt like I had understanding. I had my message all done. I was working on Sunday's message, and the bulletin done. Everything's going so well. Janet comes bursting in the study. She said, "Frank, we go to Lexington. This man's been in the wreck, and it's bad." I was afraid. I'm just telling you, I was afraid. But my comfort in that drive to Lexington and over the next days and weeks was this. I know who's in control of this thing. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like seeing my daughter in this much pain. I don't like Janet having to live up here in Lexington for months and me being here. You know, I don't like it. But I'm not afraid. Because I know who's in control of this thing. I know who's directing it. The one who's directing it is directing all of his affairs with discretion. And our enemies, you get evil tidings of our enemies, their plans and purposes to hurt you and to destroy you. They're real. Those are real people, real enemies, real things that would hurt you. But now you don't have to be afraid of them. They're not going to be around for long. God's going to see his desire on them. They'll be destroyed. Verse 10 says, "The wicked shall see it." They're going to see this blessed man. They're going to see this good man, how he blesses his children, his seed in him. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So you don't have to be afraid of their desire. It's going to perish. It's going to melt away. And the wicked will gnash their teeth. And you know, I used to always think that means they're gnashing their teeth in suffering or, you know, whatever. I don't believe that's what that's talking about, do you? They're going to gnash. What is it they're going to see and be grieved about and gnash their teeth at? They're gnashing their teeth at sovereign grace. They're gnashing their teeth at God freely giving salvation to undeserving sinners. And they gnash their teeth at it. Oh, they hate it. And they just, oh, they gnash their teeth at it. But what do the righteous say? Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for Christ, the blessed and the good man. All right. I hope the Lord will bless that to you and enable us to trust Him. All right. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed man. All blessing is in Him, and how freely You give it to Your people. How we thank You for Your goodness to Your people in Christ, Your goodness in giving us everything we need, everything that You require to stand before You accepted. Father, how we thank You. And cause us not just with the lips, not just a religious catchphrase, but cause us to truly be able to say from the heart, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for His goodness, His mercy, His grace to His people. How richly You blessed us in Christ our Savior. Father, I pray that You give us the grace and the faith to believe Him and cause us to rest. Rest in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing He has done all things well and He continues to do all things well. It's in His blessed name, Father, we pray. Give thanks. Mike, you can lead us in a song.
Let's stand up and bless the Lord. That's what the song says. So let's do that. 33. Number 33.
Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of His choice. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and blessing high, who would not fear His holy name and laud and magnify? Oh, for the living flame from His own altar brought to touch our lips, our minds inspire, and our thought. God is our strength and song, and His salvation ours. Then be His love in Christ proclaimed with all our ransom powers. Stand up and bless the Lord, the your God adore. Stand up and bless His glorious